Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers. It is my pleasure to welcome you to a very special episode of Catholic Answers Live because we have with us here in studio the brand new host of Catholic Answers Live, Mr. Cy Kellett. Welcome, Cy.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chris.
Cy, we're very happy to have you. And you are not completely unknown to our listeners. You have been broadcasting out here on the West Coast on the Immaculate Heart Radio Network, your show, The Bright Side, airing from 2 to 3.
That's right.
Right, yep. Out here. And, of course, you've guest hosted here at the Catholic Answers Studios from time to time.
That is correct. Yeah.
So are you nervous?
You're making me nervous a little bit, Chris, but I didn't feel nervous.
Well, in studio with us, our guest is Father Serpa, and he has a way of keeping everyone calm.
Well, we're
very happy to have you. And my friends, I want you to know that because this is a special episode where we welcome Cy, we are streaming the video of this hour live over our Facebook page. So if you go to the Catholic Answers Facebook page, you can not only hear the show, but also watch the live feed. Cy, I'm thrilled. This has been a long and deliberate search that Darren and I and the executive team of Catholic Answers has been through. But thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit has sent us the right man, and I could not be more pleased.
Well, neither could I, Chris. Thank you very much for those very, very gracious words. But I'm just over the moon today here at Catholic Answers.
Well, I'm going to let you get straight to it here because you have work to do. But I'm going to just tell all the folks listening that Cy and I recorded earlier today a special episode of Catholic Answers Focus called Meet Cy Kellett. So you're going to get to know him, I know, over the next weeks and months. But if you want a crash course in Cy Kellett, that episode of Catholic Answers Focus is going to be up on the website on Friday of this week. So be sure to tune into that and get to know Cy a little bit better. And I know that you're going to feel as happy and as joyful as I am that he is now part of the Catholic Answers team. All right, Cy, get to work.
Thank you very much. And I think I get a mulligan today, right? If I mess it up, I still get to come back tomorrow. Is that right?
Yeah, okay. We'll give you a few.
One day of a mulligan. Well, I'm so pleased that we get to start with the chaplain is in this hour. Father Vincent Serpa, chaplain at Catholic Answers, is here to take your calls, which means we kind of step away from the nuts and bolts of apologetics for now and delve into any questions you might have on topics such as spiritual direction, suffering, prayer, relationships, family, all that range of things. The number, 888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. And Father, it is a genuine honor for me to start my first day here at Catholic Answers Live, my first hour on the air with you. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Well, I'm glad to be here, too. This is special for us. It's nice to finally get a person who's going to be here for a while, and we expect you're going to be here for a long time. It's a special day. It's nice to be here for some special event. You know, usually I'm never here when we have anniversaries and things, and so today is a beginning. It's good to be here. And also, I've been listening to you on the radio, you know, when you were on the other program, and very, very interesting program, and you had a lot of things to say. Of course, now you've got a format, and you can't just say anything. You've got to respond.
That's right.
To
all the ridiculous things I used to say, I'll be reserving those for my home life, I suppose.
Well, they weren't ridiculous; they were interesting. But they,
well, thank you.
They're kind of free floating.
That's right.
Good. I'm certainly glad that you're here. And also, I was just thinking. You mentioned before we went on the air if there was anything I wanted to mention at the beginning, and last night we had we have a Dominican Third Order chapter here at Catholic Answers, and last night at the meeting we were discussing the Beatitudes, and the whole notion of truth came up, and I thought it was well said that truth is not something that you work at; it's something you uncover. It speaks for itself. You just, you know, remove the obstacles, and there it is. because that's what reality is, you know, and that's what we try to do here at Catholic Answers, actually, you know, all the time. That's our main work, uncovering the truth.
Right, yeah. And been doing it for 19 years now, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. I know a lot of truth has reached people because of that,
yeah,
those efforts. You know what I was so pleased with too, Father? I didn't know this. At noon, you prayed the Angelus,
yes.
And I didn't know you prayed the Angelus here. It's like, I just love that.
Yes, actually, it was our president, Chris Check, who asked if we could do this on a regular basis. And so Chuck Gallucci, our web man, fixed my phone so that it rings at 5 to 12 to remind me. And, of course, whether I'm here or not, it goes off Monday through Friday. And I say it, and it's a nice reminder. So we do it at the beginning of Mass, and then we do it at noon, and then people are on their own for the one in the evening. And we started it, actually, the whole thing started by our singing the Regina Caeli during Easter time as mm-hmm. an entrance to Mass. And then we finished that. I thought, well, why don't we just say the Angelus? So we do. That's how we begin, as you know. And then he picked up on the idea of doing it at noon as well. So it's a great old custom. It's a celebration of the Incarnation, and it kind of brings focus back to one's day, you know.
Exactly, right, with that morning, noon, and night rhythm, even for a lay person who's very, very busy.
Yes.
You can still get in that rhythm of prayer.
It doesn't take that long to say, you know.
No.
And everything just kind of stops. I know it's a very ancient tradition in the church as well. I lived with a Dominican priest who was born in Switzerland. And one day I was at his sister's house, and there was a picture of this valley that they lived in. And he said all the churches down the valley would do the Angelus after the one before it did, so that the Angelus would take about 10 minutes. You'd hear the bells all the way down the valley. It's kind of nice. When I went to USF back in the old days, they would do it on the loudspeaker at noon. The whole university would come to a stop and silent and say it was really a beautiful custom. I don't know when they stopped it, because I'm sure they don't do it now, but it would be nice if they did.
Yeah, that really is a loss, because it's like it's the gospel in miniature, kind
yes,
of.
Mm-hmm.
Every 3 hours, you repeat the basics of the gospel in prayer form.
Right.
Very beautiful. Well, it just made me feel even happier to be here at Catholic Answers. 888-31-TRUTH is the number, 888-318-7884. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest this hour, the chaplain here at Catholic Answers. So whatever questions you might have that a chaplain would be the person to answer, we're ready to take those today. So we'll go first to Scott in Smithfield, Virginia, listening on Sirius. Scott, what is your question for Father Serpa?
Hey there, everybody. My question, it really kind of revolves around the verse where the Lord's talking about, you know, try and bring your brother back. If it doesn't work, go with two others. If that doesn't work, bring him before the church. If that doesn't work, treat them like the pagans and non-believers. Now, I'm bringing that up because I've noticed that there seems to be a distinction between brothers, neighbors, and enemies, which this would be the same way as a pagan and non-believer. They're not with the church. Has that ever been brought up before, and do you think there's any relevance?
Well, it's a matter of intimacy. You know, your brother, you're the most intimate with the neighbor, you're less so, but so there's some intimacy. And the stranger or the outcast is even less intimate with. But with all of them, you're to love them, even if the outcast becomes an enemy. Our Lord tells us to love our enemies, so we're to love each one of them according to the situation. So if there's an important distinction, it's a distinction only in that. Our love is to be even stronger for the enemy than for those who are near us. You know, our Lord is very adamant about loving those who don't love us. I think that's the most significant part about such a distinction.
Okay, Scott.
Well, I guess if I can elaborate just a little bit more, because I know you got a lot of callers. I don't want to keep going on about it. But I guess what I'm wondering about is, you know, when Jesus, especially with, like, the parable of the Good Samaritan, especially, that's where he says, "Well, who is my neighbor?" Mm-hmm. Well, the Samaritan was different than a Jew. They were not necessarily, quote, in full communion per se. I guess I would draw a line, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. I would think a Jew is to Catholic as a Samaritan is a Protestant, in that kind of way, where he's walking in the right way, but you still want him to come into the Judaic way.
But
do you think that's at least somewhat accurate?
No, the point of that passage is that we're to love all of them. They're all our brothers in a sense, in a very true sense, regardless of what might divide us and that we're to love each other, especially those that might be the more difficult to love. That's the whole point of the Good Samaritan. You know, here this foreigner comes and acts far more like a brother than the brother or the person who belonged to the same tribe. So, again, the whole point of it is that we love one another.
Thank you, Scott, so much. I want to make a couple things before we go to the break. A couple notes on both having to do with Facebook. We are on Facebook Live this hour, so if you'd like to see us in studio, kind of join us via the internet, you can go to our Facebook Catholic Answers Facebook page and see what's going on here in the studio. But I also want to let you know that Catholic Answers' very own Trent Horn is debating Protestant apologist James White this evening in Atlanta. And so that's during the second hour of our show, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific time. The topic is, can Christians lose their salvation? So if you're near a computer and would like to check out the live stream of the debate, head over to our Catholic Answers Facebook page for information on how to do that. And please keep Trent in your prayers that he accomplish what the Lord wills in the course of that debate today. I'm Cy Kellett. This is Catholic Answers Live, and we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here with a very special offer for all of you who are interested in standing up for the rights of the unborn. January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as possible involved in the pro-life cause, we're making my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, available for just $5 a copy. That's a savings of over 70%. I wrote this book specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue with the goal of persuading others, to help you to change people's hearts and minds, so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, for just $5, call 1-888-291-8000 or go to the shop at Catholic.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpin. In Mark 3, when Jesus entered the synagogue, the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure a man on the Sabbath there with a withered hand. He responded, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than evil? To save life rather than to destroy it?" Looking around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart, he healed the man. They then immediately went out to conspire about how they could put him to death. What they completely disregarded was the obvious supernatural power that he had in doing such a thing. Now, these weren't pagans. They were Jews who believed in the one God. Today, we have Catholics and other believers who completely disregard the sacred life of the unborn. There is no question that the Lord grieves at their hardness of heart. Let us pray for the humility to always live according to what we know by faith. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
And welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're so happy you could join us here. This hour, we're stepping away from the apologetics just a little bit while we have Father Vincent Serpa, chaplain here at Catholic Answers, with us to take your questions on the spiritual life. The chaplain is in. So hit us with all your relationship questions, prayer questions, any questions in that vein, 888-318-7884 is the number. And we go to Melissa. Is that right? Excuse me. So I guess we'll go to Elias in El Monte, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio, my very recent former home. What is your question, Elias, for Father Vincent Serpa?
Well, before I ask the good father the question, I wanted to congratulate you, Cy. Very stoked to hear that you're going to be on the program now.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Congratulations.
I'm stoked, too.
And my question for Father is, as a parent, if you have an adult child that, for the most part, they're doing, you know, the things that they need to do, but maybe some of the things that you don't want them to do or things that you think may be an occasion of sin for them, to what extent being that they're already an adult child, are you responsible? And at the same point, because it gets to the point where you go, if I kick them out to put my foot down, then I might lead them more into that path. Or if I try to work with them the best I can, you know, is God going to hold that against me that I wasn't that strict? I mean, what is the best? Is there any kind of book or thing that you recommend to help with that?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on what they're doing and where they're doing it. As far as their lifestyle in your house, if it's appropriate, regardless of how they're behaving elsewhere, I personally wouldn't push it, because you might just push them away. But if they're doing something under your roof that is inappropriate, then you would have to put your foot down, because then you're cooperating directly with it. Is it the case? Is that the case where it's not happening under your roof?
Under the roof, it's not so much of a problem. Mm-hmm. But it is the case of where some of the things I advise the particular child to do outside of the home, they don't listen. So it makes it like a situation like, okay, how much can I guess at a certain point, there's only so much I can.
They're adults and they're free to do as they choose. Yeah. But, you know, the Lord's not finished with them yet either, you know. Keep praying for them and showing them good example, and take it one day at a time.
Yeah, just one of those thoughts that I'm wondering if God is going to say, well, you weren't strict enough, so you were kind of an accomplice in some way. But
you can't be in control over their lives outside of the house. I mean, they're adults and they can make the choices. God gives them that freedom, so you give them that freedom as well. Not that you can change it. I mean, that they're going to do what they're going to do. But certainly, as long as they know where you stand on things and remain loving, letting them know that you care about them, and that's why you're concerned about the way they live. But you can't harp. You know, all it does is they'll just turn it off. You know, it's just the way people automatically behave. As long as under your roof he's you know, behaving himself, then I wouldn't push it. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Father.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Elias. We'll go another Immaculate Heart Radio listener listening in Lomita, California. Taya, you are on Catholic Answers Live with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question for Father?
Oh, Si, I'm so happy you're in charge now. I've been in love with you ever since I saw you at the Elevate Conference in Long Beach. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, but I don't think I'm in charge of anything.
No one put me
in charge of anything.
So. Okay, I'll take that back. Our illustrious host.
Thank you, Taya. Thank you.
I have a question about, when people go through, this is what I heard because I'm kind of new to all this, that we can offer up our sufferings and hardships for some kind of a prayer to God to use. But I wasn't sure, how does a person go about doing that? Like, say they're in the midst of some illness or something and they want to offer the suffering to God. How do you do that exactly? Is there some kind of prayer you say? Or
just tell them, just say, Lord, I offer you this, to you. Either that you may use it as you will, or for the benefit of so-and-so. And that's fine. I mean, many parents, you know, offer their sacrifices or their difficulties for the benefit of their children. You know, it's an expression of love.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we just mention to God, this is what we would like
sure.
to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then, oh gosh, thank you so much, because I think that sounds so good, because then it doesn't make our suffering so useless.
Right.
It can go to a great purpose.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Thank you, Taya. And we are on, I will just remind the listener, we are on Facebook Live this hour. So if you go to Catholic Answers Facebook page, you can join us in studio, so to speak. And we have questions coming in from Facebook as well. We have Lino watching and listening on Facebook Live. And Father, he asks the following question. What can I recommend to an 8-year-old man to strengthen his faith? He is currently very doubtful because of school friends and God's apparent lack of action in his life.
This is an 8-year-old man?
18.
18-year-old man.
Yeah.
To strengthen his faith, he is currently doubtful because of school friends. Well, 18. I think that you need to be able to talk to him about the situation, for one thing, and try to learn what he's most bothered about, what scares him. You know, what is it that he fears? Because there's definitely fear involved, and there's always the desire, of course, to be approved of by one's peers. But I think it would be good to try to find what the source of his doubts are, and or doubt what the source is of his doubts. The best thing you can do is talk to him about it if he's willing to talk about it, so that you're more aware of where he's coming from, and assure him of your support, and see if you can clarify what it is that is confusing to him. Does that sound doable?
It sounds good to me, Father. But does it seem to you, just as a priest over the course of your ministry, that young people about that age, 17, 18, 19, are struggling more than they did in the past, or because maybe the media around and all that, is that kind of not really the case? That
I would not want to have to go through my teens again, because one of the difficulties with teenagers, especially younger ones, but I guess by the time they're 18 as well, they have no history, nothing to fall back on. They have no experience. It's all new to them.
Yep.
And so it's scary. And they lean on their peers so heavily because that's what they do at that time of their life. You know, they're usually in the process of kind of breaking away from their families and wanting to be independent. And yet at the same time, they're terrified, and they don't realize how terrified they are. So they're not that conscious of it, which in some ways is just as well, because they'd only be more frightened. But the fact is, they really don't have anything to be frightened about. You know, everybody goes through the same thing, and even though they're so worried about being seen as odd or out of it, they're not any more out of it for the most part than any of the others are. They're all going through the same thing to some degree, and usually, quite often, they seek someone other than their parents. But if the parent has a good relationship with them, a lot of it depends on what their history has been, interpersonal history. It's great if the parent can be a resource for the person. But the parent has to understand what it is so does the 18-year-old has to understand what it is that is so fearful. And what's the worst that could happen? You know, it once you realize the worst, then a lot of fear can go away at that point. You know?
Right, right. In many ways, the worst that can happen is I could be embarrassed when I'm 18. It's very tough.
We can get through that, I think.
Well, we do somehow.
Yes, absolutely.
Again, we're on Facebook Live. If you're watching on Facebook Live, we do have our friend Casey here in the studio with us, who's doing some filming for a little few minutes documentary on Father Serpa. So if you see that on Facebook Live, that's what's going on. And you know what? I'm going to go Francisco in Macon, Oklahoma. If you could just quickly state your question, and then when we come back, Father will give you the answer. Will that work for you, Francisco?
Of course. I appreciate you guys taking my call. I'm a big fan of you guys. You guys are awesome. I have learned so much with what you guys teach, and it's amazing. I encourage you guys, and I support you guys to continue doing the good work that you do. And I have a big play on my van. I work van that is, Catholic radio station, and it's right there, the number. So I am. Thank you so much for
what you
guys do.
Francisco, you have just a few seconds here, I think, before we go to break. So what's your question for Father?
Well, my question is very simple. My daughter is 13, and she's refusing to do confirmation, to take, catechism and classes and stuff to do confirmation. And her mother is letting her do what she wants, get her own choice. So anything from Father Branson so far.
Okay, so the question is a 13-year-old. I'm sure that's not an unusual question for you either, Father. 13-year-old Francisco's daughter refusing to make her confirmation. We will be back in just a minute with Father Vincent Serpa, chaplain at Catholic Answers, who will answer that question live.
Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about the most exciting and innovative Catholic book in years. In today's world, people from countless perspectives pose challenges to our Catholic faith every day, in conversations, through the mass media, on the internet, and more on the infinite collection of social media platforms. There's no getting away from this daily onslaught. We as Catholics need to stand strong, to be prepared, to mount a daily defense, to respond to the many challenges that we, as believers, are presented with every day. To that end, my good friend and apologist extraordinaire Jimmy Akin has come up with what will surely be a great resource for years to come, a daily defense. A daily defense takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, 366 in all, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, with challenges and answers indexed alphabetically by scripture verses or by topic. So finding the answers can be quick and easy. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
In Navigating the Tiber, how to help your friends and family journey towards the Catholic faith, Devin Rose draws from his own experience as a convert and Catholic apologist to help you guide your Protestant friends and family members on that harrowing river voyage. Not only does he equip you with the knowledge from Scripture, the early church, and Christian history, he shows you how to deal with the common aspects of a convert's journey. The river to Rome is unruly but crossable. Order your copy of Navigating the Tiber and help your friends and family have smoother sailing on their way to Christ's church. Get your copy of Navigating the Tiber today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
And welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Cy Kellett here with you, with Father Vincent Serpa, chaplain here at Catholic Answers. And the question before we went to the break, Father, was from Francisco in Macine, Oklahoma, listening on 97.3. He has a 13-year-old daughter approaching confirmation who does not want to, or is saying she won't make her confirmation.
Now, are there any other things that she refuses to do?
Do we have Francisco with us? Francisco?
Hello?
I think we may have let... I don't know. We've lost Francisco. So...
Okay. Well, that a lot of what I was going to say is going to depend on what he would say, because I wanted to hear more. Is this typical reaction from her? Is she, you know, unhappy about being a Catholic? Or is she just wants her own way? There's just so many things it could be. Or just resents her parents wanting her, telling her to do something. All of these things could be possible, but I would wonder if she attends Mass regularly, if there's anybody, a relative who might she might feel more neutral with, if it's a thing that she has, you know, she resents her parents in some way. There's just so many ways of you know, looking at this, and I don't know which way, what is going on here. They're just, you know, to say absolutely you have to be confirmed could alienate her, depending on what's going on. So, I mean, it's very hard to answer that without knowing more about the question.
Well, Francisco, if you want to give us a call back, we'll do our very best to take that call again. Again, the chaplain is in. This is your opportunity. If you have questions on spiritual direction, suffering, prayer, family life, those kinds of things, that is right in the wheelhouse of Father Vincent Serpa. And we go now. Oh, well, let me give you the number. 888-318-7884 is the number if you have a question for Father Serpa. We go to Anonymous, listening in California on Immaculate Heart Radio. Anonymous, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. Hi. My question is, Father, how can you give me some advice to, I'd like to give advice to a friend who has an adult daughter living with her that's 20 years old. her adult daughter is 20 and has a child out of wedlock and is still sexually active with the father of her child. But there's other younger siblings at the home. And my friend, the mother, doesn't want to, basically doesn't know what to do because the her husband doesn't want to push the daughter away, and he's accepting of that situation.
That makes it difficult because they really need to be on the same page with this. It is a what is this saying to the younger siblings? She's chosen to make decisions that require her to be on her own, even when she's not, and it's unrealistic. But you also have a baby now, which really complicates the matters considerably. I think she should be living elsewhere if there's any way that can be done. the biggest problem here, as far as I can see, is the father. I mean, the parents have to be on the same page on this. They can't be giving conflicting advice. And the people we have to be the most concerned with are the younger siblings and the baby. That is, if she's allowed to stay there with the baby, then the father of the baby should not be living there. Now, it doesn't say here whether that is the case, but it would seem to me that the parents have to be concerned with all the children involved and see what works the best with regard to them. And so it could mean that the father could visit the child, could visit them, but that's it, not stay overnight there. So that whatever is taking place in the house is not any kind of scandalous behavior that would affect the younger children. It's a hard one because it's so complicated. There's so many aspects to it. But it seems to me that's the priorities have to be the children, all the children that are involved, and work from there.
Okay, anonymous? Go ahead.
Yes. My friend, the mother, she doesn't agree with it, but her husband is okay with it.
Right.
And so she doesn't say anything. So what advice could I give her support?
I would say that have the daughter remain there as long as she has to. But that the father of the child not stay overnight there.
Okay.
Thank you so much. And Father, good news. Francisco is back. Francisco Oklahoma, listening on 97.3. Francisco, you had asked about your daughter who had refused essentially to make her confirmation. And Father had some questions for you about the situation, but we lost you somehow. So, Francisco.
Sorry about that.
No, here's Father with his questions for you.
Why is your daughter refusing, for one thing, to begin with? Why is she refusing?
She said it's not her thing no more.
It's what?
It's not her thing.
Her thing anymore. I see. Does she usually disobey?
Yes.
She usually does her own thing.
Yes.
Okay. Well, and she's only 13.
Uh-huh.
Why is this?
Well, whenever I ask her, but whenever mommy asks her, she does. Well, Mama asked her, but Mommy's okay with it.
Mommy is okay with her not being confirmed?
Yes. She says she's old enough to make her own decision.
At 13? Is she ready to get married at 13? I'm almost afraid. I'm sorry
sure
you asked that question.
Confirmation-wise. Yeah.
Well, I mean, a 13-year-old is a 13-year-old. She's still basically a child. And to consider her an adult and capable of making your own decisions is a very unadult thing to say. Seems to me you and your wife have to get together and recognize that you're responsible for this child. She's still a child, and that whatever happens with regard to her has to be the result of your own good judgment. And you need to know. It sounds to me that she's just the child doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't know enough about any of it. I would suggest that maybe you and your wife talk to the person in charge. Hello.
Can I clear some out? I am not living with them, so she's living with mommy, and I think she is just hurt.
Why are you not living with her?
We not married. We were never married by the church. We were just married by just a little piece. But okay, we didn't.
So there's more going on here than just her not wanting to receive confirmation. This opens another door here.
Yes.
It seems to me that the two of you need to get your act together before you expect her to get hers. It would seem to me that you need to rectify your marital situation and see your priest. Your daughter is, you know, parents separating is very difficult for children to live with. This could be an expression of her own unhappiness with you and your wife. There's so much going on here. I think you ought to talk to your local priest about this and see. He's closer to the situation than I am. And see if you can get to the root of what's going on here. I think the root of it has to do with your family situation, your marital situation. We'll keep you in our prayers, but I can't give you a specific answer right now. I think you need to talk to somebody who's there on the scene and can know all the facts.
Thank you very much, Francisco. Really happy you were able to call back, and we will keep you in our prayers. We go now to Michael in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, listening on 100.9 FM. Michael, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi, Father Serpa. We were wondering, what is the church's stance on La Dia de los Muertos?
Well, that's more of a cultural thing than it is a church thing. I mean, it's this whole phenomena is not seen in other parts of the church, just in certain ones. I find it unappealing to me, but that's my own background, I guess. And I really don't know that much about it. I know that it's very cultural. And it sounds to me like it seems like a rather unhealthy, spiritually unhealthy attitude toward the dead. I'm afraid I can't give you more than that. That is not my cultural background, and I don't understand it all that well.
Okay, I'm just concerned because when we read about it, there was the building the altars on the grave. Mm-hmm. Some people took it as a more pagan step to where they were worshiping statues and saying prayers to their actual dead relatives as a form of worship. But then there's others who did more of a memorative type of of altar with just mementos from when they were alive and stuff like that. So
there is some variation from what I gather. Is this something that you have encountered in your own life, or is this something you know about it in the that you read somewhere?
It's part of my background, but not my wife's. And we came across a movie that had the Day of the Dead as part of the. It was a kids' movie, and they had it as part of the theme. And we just wanted to know if there was anything we needed to be aware of, or if we should just stay away from it altogether.
I see. Well, would your local priest know anything about this, or does this happen in your parish?
It happens on a few parishes, but not all of them.
I see. Well, I think you basically you kind of summed it up that there's a variation. For some, it is pretty pagan, and there are others that it's more Catholic. It sounds like there could be a lot of ignorance with regard to what the church really teaches about death. As I say, I that's not my background. I would suggest that you might check with your diocese or your parish priest to see, you know, what is going on there and what the local church is saying about it.
Thank you so much, Michael. I'll just let you know, next hour, we have Dr. George Delgado. This is January, Sanctity of Life Month. And so it's a pro-life open forum with Dr. Delgado. You don't want to miss that. But we have one more segment with the chaplain, Father Vincent Serpa. The chaplain is in, and he will be right back. 888-318-7884 is the number if you've got a question. And we'll be right back here on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Catholic Answers' annual campaign is almost over. We've raised much of what we need to enter the coming year in a strong position, but we still need to raise more. This is Catholic Answers' most important fundraiser of the year, and there's still time for you to help. Your response to the campaign will determine how much apostolic work Catholic Answers can do in the next year. To make your donation, just go to Catholic.com and click the annual campaign banner or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the annual campaign banner at Catholic.com or call toll-free at 888-291-8000.
This is Tim Staples, and I'm here to tell you about the new Catholic Answers Live Radio Club newsletter, a weekly newsletter we're putting together with exclusive interviews, show highlights, behind-the-scenes access, free downloads, special offers, and so much more. And right now, if you sign up, we're going to email you a free MP3 of my talk, Evangelization, What It Is and Why You Need It. Just text the word CA Live to 44222 and follow the directions, and you'll get your free MP3 right away. That's right. Just text the word CA Live, that's CALIVE, to 44222 and follow the directions, and we'll send you a free MP3 when you sign up. It's a great deal brought to you from your friends here at Catholic Answers Live.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Our guest, Father Vincent Serpa, and we are taking calls for the chaplain. And we go right away to Anonymous in Columbus, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Anonymous, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
Hi, good evening, everyone.
Hi.
Can you all hear me?
We can, very well.
Oh, Father Serpa, I'm planning on being baptized coming up this Easter, mm-hmm. and I would like to have my sponsor to be a priest who I go back since I was a kid, mm-hmm. so I'm finally coming back to. My question is it, I don't know if it's inappropriate to ask him to do that. Being a priest, being during Easter.
No, it's.
I don't know if that's a busy time for priests. Oh. I really don't know.
Is he retired? Do you know?
You know, he used to be a theologian at our school. You know, when I was in high school, mm-hmm. he was the priest who taught history and theology. I don't know if he's retired.
Well, you can ask retired. Him if he can do it. He probably will. If he can't, he can't. But it's not inappropriate to ask.
Okay, that's what I really wanted to know.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hey, and congratulations
yes,
on your impending or upcoming, maybe impending sounds kind of dark, your upcoming baptism.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you too. Guy in Youngsville, Louisiana, listening on Christ the King Radio. You are on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
Hi, Father. Good afternoon, hi. Everybody. Hi. Well, recently I've become a parrain, which in Cajun means godfather.
Mm-hmm.
And just curious on the origins of godfathers in the Catholic Church, if it's biblical or, you know, if it's just tradition.
Well, it's basically a matter of practicality. It's a matter of, it's not like it's a part of dogma. where the church says, we believe that one has to have a godfather. But it is, there's always been a tradition, even in Judaism, for people to support one another in their faith. And this is the reason why we have godparents, is to help to assure that if anything should happen to the parents, that the child will be supported in the faith of that he or she has been baptized into. So, that's the reason why we have it. And so it's a matter of practicality, you know. You don't want the child to be just left to its own. And the parents aren't there to teach it. So this person or persons step in and help the child in this regard. Why do you ask?
Well, sometimes I see it's done as a kind of a maybe just a symbol, more of a symbol as a
friend. That's right. For many times, it's a matter of showing honor to the godparent. That is not why we have godparents, and should not be the reason why anyone chooses one. The reason is the child, not the godparent. The focus is on the child. Yeah.
And just one quick question. Question to follow up. In my situation, I'm not able to have much contact at all with the godchild. They did go through a divorce, and she is living probably about 5 hours away now.
Mm-hmm.
My responsibility at this point, I mean, just keep her in my prayers.
How old is she?
Right now, 3 years old.
Okay. Is there anybody there that can teach her the faith? You said they were divorced now, but is the mother a Catholic?
The mother is Catholic. So.
Okay. So there is a parent there to direct the child at this point. So you're off the hook for now.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Father.
You're welcome. Take care.
Okay.
Well, let's see if we can get another call in here. Indiana. From Albuquerque, New Mexico, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio, you are on with the chaplain, Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
Hello, thank you very much for taking my call. I'm a new listener to the radio.
Okay.
My question is, my brother, my older brother, he's got his family, three boys, and they left the Catholic Church probably when he was around 18, but they since found God about 10 years ago, and they're very strong evangelical Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Homeschool their kids and have a great relationship with Jesus Christ and God. And my trouble is that okay, even though he's not with the Catholic Church, or is there an approach I should take in trying to explain to him the importance of the Catholic Church, even though, like I said, he's got a great relationship with God and raising his kids fully.
Well, I would say he's raising children, there's children in Jesus Christ, but not fully, because they don't have the Eucharist. There's a lot they don't have. I would suggest that you get him the book Catholicism and Fundamentalism by Carl Keating, the founder of Catholic Answers here, because it deals with many of the things that they misunderstand about the Catholic faith. So whether or not he'd be willing to read it is another matter, but he might read it out of curiosity if you got it for him. It's Catholicism and Fundamentalism by Carl Keating. We have it here at Catholic Answers.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We'll be praying for him.
Okay. Thank you. And Indiana, Father, we're on Facebook Live. I'll just remind the listener, we are on Facebook Live, so we're getting some questions from Facebook. Colleen, listening on Facebook Live, asks, my 12-year-old daughter wants to know how to know if the devil is trying to influence you.
Well, why does she want to know?
Well, I don't. That's the problem
with
these Facebook Live.
That's the question. The fact is, she wants to know, how do you know? The question is more, how good it is to know that God loves us. That's the information we need to know, is that he loves us. And if we keep faithful to the Lord, if we pray each day, then we have no reason to fear the devil. The Lord is far more powerful, and so is his grace. So if we recognize the Lord as the loving God that he is, and recognize how much he loves us, as shown by his death on the cross, then the less attention we give the devil, the better, because the devil would like us to be afraid of him. What we need to do is be focused on the Lord and his love for us. If you're putting the Lord first, you can be sure that the devil can't have any influence over you. You say, tell the Lord that you love him. You make the sign of the cross. The devil hates that. The devil isn't going to stick around with a person who prays irregularly. So that's the way to be sure that the devil is not having influence.
And thank you to Colleen. And Robert in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Robert, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa. We have just a couple minutes left. So what is your question for Father?
Sure. Thank you, Father. There's a particular prelate whose writing I just really love, and I think he's a really strong man of God, and I would love to send him a rosary to have him bless. Mm-hmm. I think that would help me, be beneficial to me. My question is that unworthy? Is that an expression of pride, or am I being scrupulous about in worrying about it being
well, I think focusing on the priest is what's off kilter. If you want the rosary blessed, every blessed, whatever priest blesses the rosary is blessed. It doesn't become more blessed because a particular priest is doing it. It has nothing to do with priest's personality. So if you want your rosary blessed, have it blessed. If you want the priest to have some relationship with the priest, that's another matter. I wouldn't be sending a rosary through the mail to a priest to bless it when your priest can do it very easily.
Okay. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Robert. And our callers are moving along quickly today. Jeff in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. You are on with Father Vincent Serpa. What is your question?
Hello, gentlemen. I have a bit of a dilemma. My wife and I have a beautiful 3-month-old infant.
Oh, congratulations.
Neither of us. Oh, thank you very much. We both relocated to Omaha, so we don't have any friends or family here. And we have a godparent problem because on neither side of our family do we have anyone who is practicing the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have anyone here in town who is close enough to us where we feel like it's appropriate to approach them. And, you know, she's 3 months now, so we're starting to think about baptizing her, mm-hmm. and we kind of don't know what to do.
Well, why don't you ask the priest, your pastor? You need to get to know your pastor anyway. Get to ask your pastor if there's someone in the parish who would make a good godparent for your child. That's the important thing. It doesn't matter that you have to know the person well. If he knows the person well and says they're faithful Catholics and they would do well to take care of your child if anything happened to you, that's why you have a godparent, and that would work. You know, you get to know the person eventually, but you would know for sure because of you trust the priest that this person is a dedicated practicing Catholic. Doesn't have to be a relative. You know, it's taking care of your child if you're not there.
Thanks, Jeff. Next hour, Dr. George Delgado. Pro-life open forum. Mm-hmm. Thanks to everybody who joined us on Facebook Live for that hour. And thank you, Father, for being here with my first hour. Would you give us your blessing before we go?
May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.